Well, good morning, everybody. good to be back from our journey to Kosovo. And as you can see, Carrie's with us today. She had joined us over there, and she's leaving today, so I hate to break this to you. I might have to end a little early. Little shorter, you know, because I got to get her to the airport. Now, if I could go a little longer, but then Sue would have to drive. Yeah, no, she could. Yeah. So. Yeah, I want to share a little bit about the journey, and, you know, as usual, I like to wrap scripture around it to give it context. You know, I've been going to Kosovo for over 20 years, shortly after their war, which is really tragic, and the aftershocks still being felt. Because there's just some things in life you'll never forget if you've been through trauma. And that's part of the hope of the gospel, but a lot of people don't know that. Most people, if you ask them what they thought about Christianity, even here, they think it's about go to church on Sunday and don't do bad things. And when you die, you just get to go to heaven. And that's it. Well, that is not what it's all about. A lot of people don't realize that truly the good news is about people can overcome this world. While you're still here, you don't have to wait until you die and go to heaven. Because the scripture said the days of a man's years could be 70, 80 years, you know. And obviously some go beyond that, some maybe a little less than that. But for those of you at the reunion anniversary yesterday, Sue's mom was there. She's 97 years old, so she got 3 score and 10 and 4 score and some change. But still, we all pass away. It's appointed unto men once to die, and then it's judgment time to see how, well, what we did down here. Pass, fail. Well done, good and faithful servant, or depart from me. That's the only 2 choices that we have. Now, so overcoming here and overcoming this world and overcoming all the things that you went through down here that might have been really bad, and you can hear stories here, there, and everywhere. There is nobody under the sun that escapes from the darkness and the evil in this world. That's all part of the design. I know I've mentioned 100 times, Jesus said, in the world there's going to be tribulation. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. In this world you're going to hear wars and rumors of wars, and there's going to be earthquakes and famine and pestilence and all kinds of bad things. This is not the end, Jesus said. This is just the beginning of sorrows. So many people, they think when you see all that bad stuff, get ready. No, Jesus said, get ready now. He said the second coming, when he come back, going to be like the days of Noah. What was that like? Eating, marrying, giving in marriage, until God shut the door on the ark and the flood came, swept them all away. Didn't see it coming. Didn't see that one coming, did you? And they were gone. It's going to come when you least expect it. Maybe down at the corner with somebody coming the other way doing this, you know, on their phone. You're gone. The team to Kosovo was myself and these folks, Alan Marshall, Now, Oleg has joined us a couple, three times there, and one of the reasons we do that, he's over there in Europe anyway. It's not that big of a journey for him. But, boy, he's tracking with Scripture, and that young church there right now with Avni's family and his sons, Adrian and Florin, I want them to know each other. You know, there could be some peace over in that area and more travel back and forth. There is no reason. You know, we got to see ourselves like God sees us. God sees the world as one. He can look on both sides of this planet standing flat foot with both eyes open at the same time. He sees everyone. He looks down from heaven, from his dwelling place, sees all the sons of men, fashioning their hearts individually. He knows how many hairs are on your head, and he knows when a bird falls in your backyard. How can he do that? I have no idea. But he does, because he's God. So it's me and Alan, Oleg, Carolyn Barnett from Billings, Montana, Chantel from Billings, Montana, Carrie from Great Falls, Three Forks. All the Montana towns, I get them confused. So we hit the ground running. We got there, most of us, on February 22nd. Oleg was delayed, stuck in Istanbul for another night. Carrie came later that week. But it was good. Because we've laid some groundwork there, and you know, this is something really important that we do understand. We share our lives as Christians. I'm talking about at home and abroad. That's all part of the plan. We go ye into all the world, we preach good news to people, give them a chance to make an informed decision on a choice on their own eternity. Their own eternity. Can't make them do nothing, but I like sharing good news with people if they want to hear it. If they don't want to hear it, I understand. We don't have to bug people. But I'll guarantee you what, I know this for a fact, according to the Scripture, every single human being that comes into this world, God knows them, he created them, he loves them, doesn't want them to perish, and every single one of them, blacks, white, Africans, Asians, Europeans, Russians, Americans, are all made for this. So when we're talking to somebody about God, now they may not want to hear it, they're made for it, and they've got an emptiness, a deficit right here in their heart area that nothing material will fulfill, all by design. You can have all the money, fame, and fortune, Hollywood, hard body you want, and you are still going to be an empty shell. And you keep trying to stuff all that non-transcendent stuff in there, because having faith in God is going to transport you above and beyond and independent of a material world. That's how you overcome the world while you're in the world. Jesus said in John 17:7, he said, Father, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one, because I'm sending them into the world. So we're going to be in it, his people, but not of it. Where were we going to be? Above, apart, and independent of the world. Setting our mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Man, that sounds confusing. But is that what it says? Yes. Are we capable of understanding what that means? Yes. Well, I guess we've got a bit of a little journey here of digging down deeper and understand what it is that God has called us to. All humans, he is good. He has our best interests at heart. So going into Kosovo, we build relationships. Jesus said, I want you to teach people, immerse the people into Christ, and then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. In 2 Timothy 2, Paul said, those things you've heard of me and you've learned and seen, do, and the God of peace will be with you. Faithful men teaching others. Jesus said, man don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. But Christianity's taught. Well, if you're going to teach somebody, I guess you got to spend a little time with them one way or another. Do you know what? They wrote these epistles, Paul's epistles especially. I mean, even the Gospels. These guys wrote this down. This stuff was hand-carried all over that known world, all over the Roman Empire. Shoe leather, we're talking. Donkeys. Didn't have no Wi-Fi. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have 24-hour news cycles. They didn't have Geraldo in 2020 and 6060 or ABC, NBC, CNN, and all that misinformation. Don't let me get going that way. Jesus said, you can know truth. Truth sets you free. That's all the truth you want, man. And here it is. It's not on the TV networks. It's right here. Scripture can't be broken. There's stuff going on in Kosovo. I think in one of my last newsletters there, Avni sent me the clip from the New York Times, wrote an article about there is movement in a Muslim country for Christianity, and that country is Kosovo. I'll tell you what, that work over there that we've been doing now for these 20, is paying off. I'm not saying that's what they're talking about, but there is movement. See, a lot of those Albanians see themselves, their roots are not in Islam, which was there for 500 years at the point of a gun by the Ottoman Empire. The Apostle Paul walked through there. They know their roots are in Christianity. Now, they got all kind of smorgasbord. Not a lot, though. They're mostly still moderate Muslims. They don't wear bomb vests and all that stuff, you know. Burqas, a lot of the women don't. Maybe a head thing once in a while. But the bottom line is they're humans. And that's all that matters. They're human beings. I learned a long time ago, I'm going to approach everybody on this planet. I don't care if they claim to be atheists or this or that or any other thing. Me, thou, them, he, something or another. I can't even keep a letter. They're humans. And they're made for this. And with that, prepare to travel. Next door, if you have to. Next door, if you have to. We hit the ground running. We were in fellowship. We broke bread on Sunday. We took communion, the team did. And then with Abney and his family, they had him on some TV station there when we were there. They had to wait for him to come from there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon because he was on a thing that was going to broadcast all over to Albanian people in the United States of America, because there's a big Albanian population here, a real big one in Detroit. In Detroit. So we hit the ground running. On Monday, we were going around the homes that we had assisted people with disabilities. People with disabilities. You know, we did a wheelchair project some years ago. And that's a different story, but it was truly a God sighting, the way all things work together to bring. In fact, they were all lined up here. We had Ilier, we had Fiola, we had Blarum, you know, Javed Duraco, unless Dustin took him off our website, was in the picture with the church. There's been plenty of those people, Albanians here. In fact, including Abney. He really kind of gave you the, oh, what would I call his version of his prison time in the Serbian prison, tortured, beaten. He gave you the, I don't want to say the general audience version as opposed to the one I gave you. I said, he ain't telling you the half of what they did to him. Because you guys remember there might have been a prayer request that went out while we were over there. Avni seemed fine. And, you know, he's doing good. And all of a sudden, one day, I guess it was probably last Tuesday or Wednesday, his son Adrian says, they rushed Dad in the hospital. They're going to he has to have emergency surgery. I'm like, whoa, you know, so it was sudden. Now, see, 6 years ago, his intestine got all messed up. They had to cut him open, pull them out. They were gangrene, cut him off, and put a bag on him for a while. And then they was able, a couple months later, put that back in. And I mean, that guy, you can't kill that guy. I told him that. Them Serbs beat him, tortured him, broke his back. I mean, shot bullets, put him against the wall, shot bullets, and he didn't even flinch. He said, they couldn't break me. Then he went through that with his stomach, and that's what he was in there again for. His intestines got all messed up. But at least they didn't go gangrene. They got to it in time. I said, man alive. He said, they even told me I might have to go through it again sometime. I said, what's the deal with that? He said, well, they didn't really know for sure. But I said, you know, I remember reading, if you've been starved almost to death, where you're like a death camp, that's what he was a skeleton, that if you've been starved that bad, you're going to have digestive problems for the rest of your life, because that's the way he was. A little bit of water, you know, and all this nasty little stuff. They didn't eat nothing. He was that bad. Tough guy, but motivated for Christianity, for the Lord. And his sons are right there. And his young daughter, she's about 13, Rihanna, she's charging ahead too. And the wife, baptized by Philoren, the oldest son. Zealous for the Lord in that place. So we did go visit him in the hospital, and that guy walked out of the hospital the day before we left. We said, we're going to come up and see you. He said, I'm coming to the hotel. I said, what? So sure enough, he's in the lobby, leaned back, you know. He said, they told me you should stay here for a few more days. He was bored in that hospital. So he comes to the hotel. I'm like, man, what are you doing here? Go home, go to bed. He wanted to see us before we left. We visited families. One girl, she was stricken with muscular dystrophy, Blarina. But another lady who's paralyzed, Ramziti, she fell out of a tree picking fruit and broke her neck. And so she's been in this wheelchair. Now, we helped her since, I don't know, back when we did the wheelchair project. We got a lift built for her house so she could get in and out. And we go check on her, and now she's losing her arms. She was just paralyzed. Her spinal cord area is infected, and there's some scar tissue. They said Germany might be able to do it. They're having a big conference to do something about that infection, because now her left arm won't move and her right hand is not good. That would leave her totally paralyzed. This is reality. And guess what? That happens here and there and everywhere. It's part of life on this earth. What are people supposed to do? When you see that, when you hear that, you want to do so much. And you know what she said to us right before we was ready to go? Like it was really the most important thing she wanted to tell us. Thank you for not forgetting me. That's all. We can't heal her. Can't do nothing like that. If she gets to go to Germany, you know, I plan to cover some of her travel expense. Her country will pay for the surgery. Kosovo will. Okay. But she's still going to be in a wheelchair. There's no cure for that. But that doesn't mean all is lost. This is what this is all about. This message hasn't changed in 2,000 years. Do you realize the Apostle Paul said when you're born again, when you're immersed into Christ, you can rise and walk in the newness of life, even if you're in a wheelchair? I put that in there because it's true. Eyes can open, deaf can hear. demons cast. Jesus did all those physical miracles to point to the spiritual power that's available for people, not in the material sense, but in a spiritual sense, that they can overcome the darkness in this world no matter what they've been through. Most people do not know that's what the gospel is all about. I know I shared with y'all when we were there last July, they asked us to come and preach at some or share at a camp over in far western Kosovo. And the lady, or the coordinator, her and Florin wanted to know if I could do a lesson on the meaning of life and how do you live that life. And she said, can you work up a lesson? I go, yeah, I'll try. And Florin told me there'll be atheists there, Muslims, and some people with some understanding of Christianity. When we unpackage that and just let it go, right from the Bible, Florin told me later, some of them Muslims had no idea that Christianity was about overcoming. Kosovo was hit hard. 23,000 women, according to the UN, were assaulted by these gangs of Serbian paramilitaries and mercenaries as a weapon. And they told us in the meeting, and Carrie was there, Kadira said, as young as 9. Women were kicked out of their homes after that. They said, leave, just leave. What did I do? One lady that we helped get this, we got a bunch of sewing machines last year because the people helping these women want to empower them. I mean, it makes me crazy. I mean, when I think of sewing machines and chickens to try to empower women, when this is what empowers anybody. If you've been through all that, I mean, okay, I suppose any little bit of help is something in the right direction, and I appreciate all these efforts. But there's nothing else on this earth powerful enough to pierce the darkness of this world when people have suffered those things. They don't need sewing machines and chickens. Jesus said, I am a light that came into this world so people don't have to be in that darkness no more. I'm the light that came into this world. I'm the light of life. And that statement is still true to this very day. This is all by design. That's why God can allow the darkness, because the scripture tells us light excels the darkness. The darkness, the light is greater than that darkness, and that has to be unpackaged. But that lady told us that got the sewing machine. We took it to her house. Actually, it was Kadira, the coordinator, that told us what happened to her. And it was done by Serbian policemen. Gang, about 5 of them, and her husband was off fighting with KLA, you know, against the Serbs, and her sister-in-law was there. Bad things for about 5 days, and when her husband found out from the front, he just said, please, when I get there, be gone. What in the world are people supposed to do? What are they supposed to do? Why does God sit there and allow all that? Because I already said, they don't have to be in that anymore. God does not give people amnesia when they are born again. What God does is he opens their mind up. That's what this does. Jesus said, I have many things to say to you, apostles. You can't bear it now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Your mind, the minds were going to stretch wide open, filled with light and truth and mercy and goodness, compassion, truth. And that darkness will be overwhelmed. That's what God does to people. People have no idea they're made for that. They have no idea. I tell people, it ain't in the church as many times. Forget that. We told them Ukrainian refugees in Poland last. It's not in the churches. It's in this. And it's right there in the plain teaching, too, by the way. You don't have to dig it out. And it's never changed. God, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. My words ain't never going to pass away. It'll endure forever, Peter said. And this is the word which by the gospels preached to you. 2,000 years ago. Still needs it right now today. So that's what we're doing. When we go there, we're developing those relationships with the people that were in the wheelchairs and, you know, some just because it was sickness, some because of accident. Doesn't matter how you got there. All over the world, we work with those situations. That's what the gospel's all about. Went to visit Dr. Javed Durocko. You know, like I said, he was here. You know, he had another stroke. He's really has a hard time getting around now, but he's like 79. In fact, when we were saying goodbye, he was holding on to my hands and looking at me. I've known that guy for over 24 years or something. And he was so concerned. We both had health issues last year. I had a few myself. I'm feeling frail. And he says, Mr. Steve, maybe I won't see you again. I said, you never know, Javed. You just never know. I don't know. But you know, I'm so happy that I know the truth, the gospel is being presented in Kosovo. And because with the people that we've met over these years, we always connect them. So all these different people that would have never known each other, we've made it a point that all our friends that we've made know each other. We're the common denominator in our efforts over there. The Handicost people know Javed. Javed knows Avni and his family, and it's all coming together, because just like that Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8 that went on his way rejoicing after Philip joined him in the chariot, unpackaged Old Testament scripture for him, that the one he saw suffering in Isaiah 53, who is this man talking about, this here prophet? Is he talking about himself or somebody else? Philip began at the same scripture, preached Jesus to him, came along the way, there was some water, and that man, the Ethiopian, said, hey, here's water, what hinders me from being immersed? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. I believe Jesus Christ, Son of God. Down they went, stopped the chariot, went into the water. He immersed them down there. They came up out of the water, and the angel of the Lord took Philip away that way, or the Spirit of the Lord, and the Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. There's legends or stories about what that guy did in Ethiopia, not in the Bible, but in history. Is it true? I don't know. God knows. Makes sense to me, though. Makes sense to me. None of that stuff is by happenstance. God brought Philip from a long ways away. He told him to go on down to Gaza, which is desert. When he got down there, he said, now join yourself to that chariot. You talk about divine intervention, truly a God sighting. Dropped him like a smart bomb right in that front seat of that chariot with that Ethiopian. Boom. Philip says, you understand what you're reading there? How can I? Let somebody guide me. And Philip began to unpack its scripture. All by design. God not willing any should perish. He will cross paths over great distances to bring the right people in the right place at the right time to make it happen. Those are his promises. That's Steve's promises. That's Steve's promises. He said if they ask, they receive. If they seek, they find. If they knock, it's open to them. I couldn't make that guarantee or that promise. There's not any maybe in that. Jesus then reaffirms, because he said everyone that asked received. He said everyone that seek find. He said everyone that knock. That's God's promise. And the Bible says, Jerry, God can't lie. That's Jerry's favorite verse. Twice the scripture says it's impossible for God to lie. So it's the truth. If they seek for God, they feel for God, they'll find God, Paul said. Because in him we live, we move, we have our existence. I'm just excited when we get a little chance to be in somebody's space and things come together. And man, you see it start opening up for that individual. You're happy for them. Thank you for not forgetting us, he said. I said, well, that is not hard because you're unforgettable. This woman is something else. She was so motivated to still do everything for her family while she was in that wheelchair. That's one of the reasons why we got the lift for her to get out of her house. Because, man, there ain't no stopping this lady. But like I said, Java's slowing down with the stroke. Fiola, you know, she's doing pretty okay. Got some surgery she has to go through. She's scared. But, you know, that's just the way of all the earth. That happens everywhere. I'm just glad. Jesus said sick people need a physician. I'm glad we've got some pretty decent health care still, you know, to help with our needs. Now, we went on down to the ladies. It's, you know, they go by this. It's the Center for the Promotion of Women's Rights. Most of the folks in the society there do not realize who those women are. They are those victims. It's still taboo. People don't talk about that. And that's the word they use, too. That ain't Steve's word, taboo. That's the word they use. We don't talk about that. It's taboo. This woman that decided to speak up because of her herself being a victim, man, she said, well, I'll tell you a couple things. The pushback she got from people, don't bring that up. And that was from females and males. Don't bring that up. It's past. Forget it. Because it's a shame. It wasn't their fault. It was not their fault. She was determined she wasn't going to see herself as a victim. She was going to do something about it by helping others. But she said something interesting to me that went right over my head at first because I thought, why'd she say that? And I had to think back to the first time I met her when she talked about the persecution because she wanted to stand up for these women and make sure this never happens anywhere in the world again by getting it out there and telling the whole world what happened. And she was told to shut up. Don't bring that up. But now they praise her for what she's been doing, and she sacrificed to do it. So this time when we were there, guess who was supposed to go with us to the meeting was Avni. You know, he just ran for the parliament, but his party lost, so he didn't get it. But he said it was a great experience being able to meet with the people. And he wanted very much to meet this group and the leader of the group. So he ended up in the hospital. So when we went there to meet with her, and there was other ladies there, and they cooked us. We were honored once again, us guys, me, Oleg, and Alan. Men are not allowed in that restaurant, only for the women. But that's the second time that the group leader, Kadir, allowed us men to come in there. And we feel really humbled by that very fact. And I mentioned to her, well, Avni really wanted to be here today, but he couldn't because he's in the hospital. And you know what she said? She said something to me. She was really sorry and disappointed to miss that. But she said, the other lady that took us there, Bilkizia, she can bring him. And she said, this is amazing how through you we have an Albanian man. And I'm thinking, I don't quite get that, but what does she mean by we have an Albanian man? But then it dawned on me, none of the men want this brought up. Avni does. Because he's going to stand with them. He's a tough guy. He stands on principle and what's right. He's a professor of democratic governance and human rights. He is zealous for doing things right and honorable. And he's willing to stand with these women. And it hit me. That's why, because they don't have men advocating. Unfortunately, many of them are ashamed that they couldn't protect their women. They had no weapons. They had no weapons because the Serbs had the weapons, not the Albanians. It's a tragic, tragic story. But anyway, so I see there's going to be some good things happening with bringing all these people together, now working together. And the ladies that we had, Carrie, Chantal, Carolyn, they were scarfing up all these handmade bags and gifty things. These ladies, sometimes they make crafts because they're trying to sell and make some money. They're hauling all this stuff to Montana Ladies Advance. Because they want to keep this going for the ladies, for those women, to help them and be, you know, advocates for them. Tell others what happened, because the world needs to know. In fact, I heard there was other movement. In fact, they told us it's going to be in Washington, D.C., where these things are brought out for all world leaders to know. Every time you crazies want to go to war over there, wherever it's at, know this, the women and the children in your society are going to be the first victims. And they want all these crazy leaders to know, when you guys want to go to war, know what's going to happen. It's women and children. And she's absolutely right. Because that's exactly. And why does God say, God makes it pretty clear. What he's really looking for, true religion, undefiled before God the Father, is this, is to help the orphan and the widow in their situation. When he says visit them, that don't mean, hi, how's it going? It means go find out what they need and help them and keep yourself unspotted from the world. That's what God wants. I told you before, you want your hair blown back, Exodus 22:22. God says to his people, he said, you do right by the orphan and the widow. You take care of them. If you harm them in any way, God tells his people, I will go to wrath on you with the sword, and then your wives will be widows, and your children will be orphans. They are the most vulnerable population in the whole world. So I think what them ladies are doing is standing up and trying to educate the rest of the world and let it be known. That's the result of these wars that people want to get into. They suffer the most. So the ladies, they got a bunch of stuff to take to the Ladies Advance in Montana to help continue the cause for these others. We met with Afram, the head of Handicross. You know, that guy, he's pulled me aside a few times. He wants to know, he's in a wheelchair, about life, the meaning of life, and why this suffering, because he's suffering. He's going through stuff. And I let him tell me some things he's going through. I said, Afram, I appreciate you, man. No offense, but what you're telling me is pretty common to man, because it is common to man. I wasn't minimizing his suffering, but I said, there's hope there, brother. I said, there's hope in overcoming in this darkness, in this world. And I started to explain that. And he really was listening to me. In fact, the last time I was talking to him, we were at lunch, and his wife was sitting next to him. And we got done, and we were saying goodbye. We had a gang there. We had the whole team, and got up, and everybody said, yeah, it was a great lunch, great time to be together. And Afram said, yeah, especially the last part. I And the last part was when we were talking about things that mattered. You know, it takes time. Discipleship is work. Right here, it doesn't matter. It's just the way it is with humans. It takes time. You got to put the time in. You got to spend the time. You got to be able to encourage. We met at the little storefront church. They started. Ovni did and his boys. I mean, some of you guys that was in Olivet with us. I mean, it's more of a city. Fushikozubo, it ain't like Olivet. But, you know, they rented a store thing, you know, where people were walking by and some people walk right in there. And they talk. These people are looking for answers. They said, we don't want religion, but they are looking for God. Perfect. And this one guy told me, Victor, after we got done sharing, he said, you know, I've read those verses, but not until tonight did I really understand what that was saying, because it's almost like the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, that people, you know, Matthew 4 or 5, 6, and 7, the very last part, you know, Jesus said, whoever hears these sayings of mine, does them, be like a wise man, build his house on a rock, because the rain come, the flood come, the wind blow, beat on the house, house don't fall down. Why? He said, because it's founded on a rock, Jesus said. But anyone hear these sayings of mine and doesn't do them, be like a foolish man. You know, the rain come, he built his house, the rain come, the flood come, the wind blow, beat on the house, house falls down. Why? Because it was founded on sand. It wasn't on the rock. And it said the people were astonished at his teaching, because he taught as one having authority and not as the scribes. First time in their lives they ever heard the law of Moses the way it was intended to be heard. Because he made real and relevant. That's what we all have to do, make it real and relevant. And this other lady pipes up. She was all excited. And she said, you have such perfect English. I told Carrie, I said, mark that down. And when we get back, tell your mom. This lady said, I had perfect English. She understood everything I said. Hey.
I knew you'd enjoy that.
The impossible things belong to God, and he can, if he can make, give Balaam's donkey the ability to speak coherently and get the point home, I guess he could use just about any of us to do the same thing. Easy now. So it was a good trip. And it's also good to be back home. But reinforcing those relationships, being in their homes, I see it's things are moving, which is all for God's glory. I know that many of us, you know, what we've ever done in our lives, maybe as Paul said, you know, one plants, one waters, the increase will come from God. And it's going to be with each successive generation coming up. Things could really, if the Lord tarry, you know, and there's still time left on this earth, any one of us in our efforts in reaching people, you may never know the results that you will have from the seed that you've sown. So we sow the seed and let the seed do, as Mark Miller likes to say, let the seed do what the seed does, because it's God who will give it the increase. All to the praise of his glory. So, again, good to be back, but it was a great trip. And we may see some of them people here. We're thinking about bringing maybe Belkizia and certainly Florin. Florin got a 5-year visa from the U.S. Embassy, and that kid is on fire. I was thinking he got a 5-year visa. We'll get him back here maybe for our family camp. You get a chance to meet him. But thanks for your support and your prayers and all that, and thanks for listening. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed with a word of prayer.